So today's sermon is about the Lord's Prayer. We say it every week. Most adults don't remember when they memorized it. Children usually hear it so many times in their childhood, and before long they know it by rote. People visiting the church for the first time or visiting a church for the first time wonder how everyone knows this. The Lord's Prayer: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heard that before? Several years back, I asked a youth group to express the Lord's Prayer as they understood it. Here's what they came up with. God, you are really, really great. You're in charge. Whatever you say, everywhere, fill our needs. Forgive us while we forgive others. Keep us on your path. Help us when we're in trouble. You're great, and you rule forever. Amen. I do love the freshness of the words. At the same time, I don't want those words to exist at the expense of what I've recited countless times over the years. Something comforting about repetition. Prayers repeated every day or every week can become empty or meaningless, but that discounts the notion that comfort comes from repetition. There was a fellow at a church that I once served who had been in a very, very harrowing experience that had to do with a vacation, an escaped prisoner, being held hostage, and worrying for their lives. And at some point, this person acted because they didn't know what else to do, and as a result of acting, even though it turned out for good, they got shot. And all they remembered during that time, while they were trying to figure out what to do next, they wanted to pray, but they had no words to pray. So they just kept saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as earth is on earth as it is in heaven." Just kept saying it over and over and over, because sometimes when we don't have any other words, the things that we have known by rote stay with us. And God knows what's going on in our hearts, even when we don't have the capacity to really understand what's going on ourselves. In today's reading, Jesus starts by telling the disciples how to pray. And I've heard often that our recitation of the Lord's Prayer can become empty and meaningless when we just simply repeat it. There is a script floating around that sort of like an interactive Lord's Prayer, where a person says something and then there's a sort of an off-screen voice. I'm not going to do that today, but I do remember Bob Newhart? He didn't die too long ago. Come on, I want to get a show of hands on this. Bob Newhart? Do you remember some of his comedy routines from the 60s? He would have a telephone, and all of a sudden the phone would ring. That's my ringtone. And he'd pick up the phone, because he'd start with, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Hello? He's calling. I was just doing the Lord. Yeah, I know. You really didn't have to call me on the phone. No, you didn't have to. You want me to keep going? "Hallowed be thy name." I don't really know what that means. I just say it. Everyone else says it. It's something about holy, but everyone says it. Yeah. Keep going? Okay. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." "You're not like a regular king?" What does that mean? Why do we say it that way then? That's too long. I can't repeat that to everybody. He's saying something about Mr. Rogers and the neighborhood and God's neighborhood and the thy will be done part. I know we don't really pay attention to that in our lives, right? Okay. So you get the idea of Bob Newhart and trying to breathe some fresh new life into the Lord's Prayer. But I think there's some merit to doing things like that. But I also think that freshening up language isn't necessary for the prayer to have meaning. In our repetition of the Lord's Prayer, we put something so deep in our memory that, like I said, when there's no words or there's no thoughts, it's still present there. And sure, we have different ways of expressing the Lord's Prayer in different denominations, in different versions of Christianity. Some say debts, like we tend to do in the United Church of Christ, but not all UCC congregations do that. Some say trespasses. Got any trespass people here? Come on. Trespass people, all right. Some say sins. Any sin people? Pastor's asking people if they're trespassers or sinners. Any sin people? Debt people? Two different places in the Bible where the Lord's Prayer is, and the one that we have today from Luke, right? In Matthew, it says things a little bit. Or this one comes from Matthew. The one in Luke says things a little bit differently, and that's where we get the difference in some of the language. But then at the end of the prayer, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, that's not anywhere associated with this prayer. It really comes from 1 Chronicles, where it's David asking God to bless Solomon as the king. He says, yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. And now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name. How would you like to add that to the end of the Lord's Prayer? We've got a much shorter version of it. However you say it, I say this each week, however you say the Lord's Prayer, whatever language you use, whatever custom you use, say that. What's in your memory by rote? Because that's the one that is comforting. If you want to switch it up sometimes, sure. If you want to take your phone and pretend God is calling you and do it that way, okay. But the Lord's Prayer is worth reciting. It's worth repeating. It's worth memorizing. It reminds us of our relationship with God and that we are woven together in community. There's your Lord's Prayer lesson for the day. Should I say amen and be done? No! There's more to this morning's readings. After teaching the disciples how to pray, religious leaders often taught their disciples how to pray, Jesus taught some more. Could you imagine the disciples, like you may be saying right now, thinking, we really just wanted to talk about that prayer, and do we have to have another lesson now? Maybe at camp this week, the kids were like, that was really fun today, and this is really good, the church part, but can we have fun again? Anyone ready for the picnic? Do you always have to turn something into a teachable moment? Jesus kind of did. Jesus taught them about persistence in prayer. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. If you take that line, apart from the teaching Jesus did while teaching the disciples to pray, you might believe that God is like a cosmic genie, granting our requests as long as we pray hard enough or often enough. You might understand it like The Secret. Remember that book? Surround yourself with positive people and think positive thoughts, and things will always work out for you. Or a particular preacher in Texas with his book, Your Best Life Now. Believe that you will be blessed and that you will gain wealth, and you will. Some people would see it that way. Or name it, claim it theology. God wants you to prosper. Just claim that blessing and enjoy the rewards God has for you. Or how many of you have read the book of Jabez? Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And then God granted him what he requested. You can do the same. On the other side of that, though, is the idea that when things don't go right, or when we aren't rich, or things just aren't positive, that we didn't pray hard enough or believe enough for God to do it. Blame the victim when it comes to lives that aren't turning out in a positive way. Let me say something that I think is really important. I believe it, and I'm not sure how everyone else will feel about it, but here goes. God is not bound by our prayers, and God is not limited by our lack of them. God is not bound by our prayers, and God is not limited by our lack of them. Do you remember what Jesus taught before the ask, seek, knock part in the reading? Your kingdom come. God is in charge. We praise God and acknowledge God's sovereignty in our lives. Our requests then grow from that. We depend on God's grace, and our God, who is always faithful, calls us to be faithful. And we can trust, even when we can't trust, that God is present. Whether we're noticing it or even believe it, God is always transforming us. That's a hard one to grasp, especially from a position of, I don't believe that. How can I, you know, I don't want God to transform me. I get that, and I don't think that there's a force here, a forcing. But whatever we believe, however we believe, God is working in our lives somehow. But then what about that bothering a friend at midnight part from the reading? Doesn't that teach that if we're persistent enough, we'll get what we ask for? Don't many people pray and ask God for things? Don't we pray? Don't I pray on Sunday mornings during the prayer request time where I say I'm going to do a short pastoral prayer? Not everyone gets what they ask for, though. I remember in church and in Sunday school growing up, I learned that God always answers, but in different ways. And it was three things: yes, no, and wait a little while. Now, did you ever consider that that's almost like saying God doesn't really answer prayers? Things just happen better for some people and worse for others? That's not very faithful of me to ask that, but it sounds almost the same. Yes, no, wait a little while. Well, God doesn't really answer prayers. Just some things happen. I want something more than just that or that. Let's look closer at the friend at midnight part. It's about asking his neighbor for food for a visitor, even though the friend is fast asleep. Hospitality, another one of Jesus' big things in Jesus' time on earth, dictated that visitors must be cared for. The whole village would be embarrassed if a visitor went hungry or was mistreated. The request of a friend equated to the needs of the whole village, not just one person. As we pray, that's what we're moving towards. The needs of all. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God is not a cosmic genie. God isn't answering prayers just because enough people pray or someone irritates God enough. But God is listening. Are we listening? There's a form of prayer called contemplative prayer. It is ancient, and it's one of the things that we're going to be using as part of our new wellness ministries at Peace Memorial Church. One of the elements is spirit, and we're going to be practicing some contemplative prayer in different sessions that we have over the course of a year. Contemplative prayer mostly relies on listening. Sometimes it's pure silence. Listening for the still small voice of God. Sometimes it's repeating a particular phrase, either from Scripture or from something else that helps us center and focus not on everything around, but on just one thing so that we can listen. When the United Church of Christ started the campaign, God is Still Speaking, in 2004 or 2005, it was based on a couple of things. One, it was based on a postcard that Gracie Allen sent to George Burns or had written down for him before she died. And she said, never place a period where God has placed a comma. Indicating to George Burns that your life is going to go on. And it has did for many, many years. Then it also comes from Pastor John Robinson, who, when the pilgrims were leaving for the New World, couldn't make the trip. And he said a prayer, and during the prayer he said, there is yet more light to break forth from God's word. Never place a period where God has placed a comma, and there is yet more light to break forth from God's word. Put those together and you get this idea that God is still speaking. The second part of the campaign that was planned that never happened, because the first part was so successful that it became a brand and still exists for the United Church of Christ. But the second part that was planned was God is still listening. God is still speaking. God is still listening. And that had to do with God listening to our prayers, but also asks us to listen for the still small voice of God. So God is listening, are we? And it's okay to say the Lord's Prayer more than once or twice or three times in a service. So let's say it once together now, shaped by prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.